you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, I'm completing the left side of the infield here with Matt Duffy. Did you listen to the Crawford one?
I haven't yet.
Okay, I'll edit that out. You're off today, which is something I wanted to ask you about just in general. This is your second camp here. And I think every offseason for you, you've probably had the biggest swings in off seasons for some of these guys, just in terms of what you did after the World Series and before that, and then now you come in here as a locked-in starter. So what's been the changes going back to maybe after the 2013 season and then after 2014 and then after last year, kind of the biggest changes in what you do in the off season?
I think, you know, I'm understanding now that, you know, I'm preparing myself for 162 games as the mindset, whereas before it was, you know, unsure of what exactly I was preparing for. It was try to get myself ready for as many things as possible. But last year it was, you know, get myself ready to compete right out of the gate in spring training. So it was a little bit of an adjustment, just understanding, you know, I can kind of take my time, ease into it. And that was a little hard because the first, you know, couple weeks of spring, I was really felt not quite in sync with everything I was doing on the field. So learning that patience was definitely a challenge, but, you know, I figured it out. So
last year I remember talking to you and you said in the off season you, I think you were setting an alarm like every 90 minutes to make sure you ate. Is that still something you focus on, or has it gotten a little bit easier with time to figure all that out?
I don't have to set the alarms as much. I did it a few times this offseason. If I started feeling like I, you know, went a couple days without getting the amount of meals that I needed, then it would kind of be something that I could go to, you know, keep myself in check and just remind myself. But for the most part, I didn't have to go that far as setting alarms like I did last offseason.
We talked at FanFest about the speed work you did, and you were saying that was a real key. What did you do specifically in terms of – I think you worked with an old coach – who had worked with you before, right?
Yeah, I'd say his name's Rob Nelson. He ran track at Long Beach State, played a little bit of baseball. So, you know, he's a track-first guy who knows how to translate it to a baseball field because he's familiar with the game and he watches the game and he really understands the game very well for a guy who grew up on track. And that's something that I felt was unique. You know, it wasn't just, you know, here's a track, run straight. It was, you know, we're going to teach you how to run, but then we're ultimately trying to get you how to run fast on a baseball field because there's a difference between track speed, I guess, and then game speed. And we worked a lot about getting out of the box, doing a lot of other drills to kind of mimic that feeling of being on your heels after a swing and then having to get down and get going first. A lot of steel jumps, learning how to be as efficient as possible with my movements. And, you know, like you said, I've been going to them for about 4 years now, 4 or 5 years every offseason. So it's something that it doesn't – not so much – changes in learning things now. It's getting myself back into shape running wise. But it starts out with a lot of, you know, hip and core strengthening stuff. And from there you move to more running. And then from there to distance running through speed, not distance like a marathon, but, you know, running long sprints. And then from there you go into start baseball specific stuff.
That was kind of your first, I think, introduction to a lot of people on a national stage was your speed and the instincts that you showed in that postseason game going second to home. Is that something that you think this year maybe will be a bigger part of your game or as you get more comfortable up here and add more stolen bases? Or
I think It's I don't want to tip my hand here. Yeah.
But I don't think any National League West pitchers are listening to my podcast.
You never know. But yeah, I think it's something that I'm looking to do a little more this year is run. And I understand on the other side that I have quite a few guys behind me, really no matter where I'm hitting in the lineup, that can drive me in from first base. So it's one of those things where I do want to be more aggressive, but I got to pick and choose my spots because, you know, just like yesterday with two outs, I could have stolen second, but I also know Buster can hit a double. So, you know, it's one of those things. The pitcher's going to give it to me. I have no problem taking it, but I'm probably going to be a little on the more hesitant side to force it with the guys who hit behind me.
You scored pretty easily on that. Is that, I guess, when Buster's coming up, you'll have a pretty good idea that ball might be in the gap and you're off.
Yeah. I've talked to him a little bit, and, you know, he always tells me, like, look, I don't want you to hesitate. I'd rather hit with you on second than with you on first. But at the same time, I think it's one of those things that you got to read the situation. You got to understand how the pitcher's doing. If a pitcher's struggling, you don't want to give him an opportunity to get an out without having to throw a pitch. So, you know, it's one of those things that you read on the fly. And if it's, you know, if the risks are minimal and the rewards are high, then it's something that, you know, I'm definitely going to be looking to do more of.
I think another big part of the offseason is you're working with Mac, right? And he came out at, I think came out to California, didn't he? And he lived with you for a while. What kind of led to that? I know you guys are good friends and play together in the minors, but what led to him coming out to work with you?
I think it was a combination of things. Like you said, we're really close. The weather in Southern California is great in the winter.
Beats North Carolina.
Yes. And I think a lot of the guys that he worked out with back home were pitchers. So it was, you know, it didn't quite match up. And a lot of the guys that I worked out with in Southern California were position players. So it was a little more, I think, practical for him to be there with the combination of everything. I know it was hard for him to be away from home, you know, and his parents more than he necessarily needed to be. But I think, you know, it's shown so far, and, you know, to credit to him, being willing to, you know, get out of his comfort zone and in the off season and make little tweaks here and there. And, you know, it really wasn't me. It was mostly him putting in the work. And, you know, I just say little things here and there that I see that he asks about. And we talked to my hitting coach from the Cape, Benny Craig, came out for a few days, and we hit and we just talked about some things. It was, you know, it was good stuff. And I'm at least for me, I can't speak for Mac, but for me, the combination between Benny and what Bam Bam says to me, you know, they have their own specialties, and I take, you know, things from both of them that really, really help me.
Mac's been kind of one of the stories of camp here. We've seen what he's done on the field. I think he still leads the Cactus League or is tied for the lead with four homers, and you've known him for a while. You've seen what he's capable of in the minors. What do you think? What kind of player can he be when he gets up here and gets a shot? And when we see him, you know, maybe not every day, but at some point, I think we'll see him every day in a corner. What's kind of the potential that he has?
You know, I don't like putting a limit on anybody's potential. I feel like I'm a testament to that. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't like to really say what I think he's capable of. I mean, anything. You've seen the power in batting practice. You've seen it in the games. I think on top of it, he puts together good at-bats. For a big guy with power, he stays inside the ball very well. And if you look at a guy like Buster, you know, he's got the pop. He's got the ability to turn on a ball. But for the most part, he's a good hitter first. And I think that's something that Mac is showing right now. He's a better runner than a guy his size with his power normally is, because he ran with me a bit in the offseason as well. You know, we would run sprints together, and he's only like a step behind me. You know, he's not slow. So, you know, he has the ability to do a lot of things on a baseball field. So I don't really want to – I don't know. This is a really long answer for a simple question, but, you know, I guess the sky's the limit.
Is it kind of what we're seeing this spring a little bit? I think as he gets further away from surgery, is what you guys who have played with him and seen him in the minors know this is kind of a healthy Mac. This is what you're used to.
Yeah, healthy, and he's getting more comfortable with, you know, the league. He's getting more comfortable with the pitchers that he's facing. A lot of it, to be honest with you, is believing that you can compete consistently against this kind of competition. And once a guy gets that, where he believes he belongs here, like really believes it in his core, you know, watch out. That's kind of my feeling. And like you said, getting more comfortable with his body and understanding that, you know, he's not hurt anymore.
You've gotten to that point, I think, a little bit of the belief. But for you, it is a different situation that, you know, year two is kind of let's prove that last year wasn't a fluke. And I think anybody who's seen you, you have a fan out there. I think anybody who's seen you knows that the approach is something that can help you. But how much is that in the back of your head of, you know, prove people that last year was not a one-off? Last year was just the beginning.
You know, it crosses your mind. It's something that it's asked a lot. What I try to do is I go back to, you know, how I finished last year. I look at how I did that. It wasn't at the beginning of the year I'm worrying about the final numbers. You know, it was each and every day I come to the field with the thought of, one, how do I help the team win today? And then once I get in the game, it's very simple. It's on defense. It's be locked in on the ball. And same thing at hitting, really. It's always locked in on the ball. When I get myself to just focus on the ball, everything's quicker. My reaction's quicker. Put the barrel on the ball better. I catch the ball better. My first step is quicker. And that's just, honestly, I think it's just maintaining a high level of focus in everything I do on the field and not worrying about getting my hits, not worrying about finishing at a, you know, 290, 300 average with X amount of homers. Those numbers will take care of themselves if you can get yourself to focus day in and day out each pitch. It sounds like a cliche, but I think that's the hardest thing to do over the course of a 162 game season, because it's long, it gets to be a grind, you start thinking about other things, you're tired. You know, so I think if you can just consistently check in and get yourself to focus every day on what you can control, then I think, you know, you got a better chance than not to finish up at the end of the year where you want to be.
I think panic's going to be reminding you on a day-to-day basis of how many hits you have or where you stand in that respect, even if you focus on the process.
I actually checked today out of curiosity, and I think we have the same amount of hits in spring training. So, touche, Joe.
Yeah, you're
right there with you.
He had a nice little start there.
He did. He had his fun.
Catching up from the last few days. Is that something that over the course of the year, I mean, I wrote about this, so I kind of know the answer here, but it'll be fun just coming back to the dugout and you know, he gets a hit, you get a hit, goes back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, last year it was a little slower version of this year's race, I guess. But
once every 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like, people would forget that we were even in it, and then we remind them. But, yeah, last year I think at one point I had a homer, and I said, your turn, Joe.
He homered
the next at-bat. Yeah. And I was just laughing as he's coming around the bases. I think we were in New York. I was like, touche, all right, here we go. Like, that's when it got fun, and then we both stopped again for quite a while.
We caught that one when I wrote about this, that I guess we'll call it the hair race maybe, but when I wrote about your hits competition a couple weeks ago, I went back and looked at some of the stuff from last year, and there was actually a photo from the CSN Twitter account of that day, you finding him in the dugout and kind of saying your turn. So there's proof that this actually happened.
Yeah.
I think if I had talked to you last year at this time, I'd probably be asking you about the five different gloves you had or the work you were doing at first base.
Yeah, I've since I only have third baseman glove now. Yeah.
Is that all just left at home? Is that something you pack for spring training and go, I no longer have to worry about?
Yeah, I think Susak borrowed my catcher's glove, or my catcher's glove, my first baseman's glove. I haven't gotten that back yet. The glove that I would use for second base is kind of, I use almost as a training glove now because it's smaller than my game glove. So I use that in batting practice once in a while. And then I honestly couldn't tell you where the outfield glove is. I'm sure I could find a new one somewhere.
It's a good thing that you don't need it again.
Yeah, I'm sure I could find a new one somewhere.
Was it a surprise to you last year when the gold glove finalist came out?
Yeah, I mean, I'd never played a full season in the big league, so I didn't know what a necessarily a goal. I knew there was, you know, you see all the highlights on ESPN and MLB Network, but I didn't know exactly what a gold glove or gold glove caliber season looked like necessarily, you know, on a day-to-day basis type thing. You know, you see all the spectacular plays, but So I knew I had a solid year, you know. It wasn't something that I was like at the end of the year, like, man, I'm going to, you know, be a finalist. But, you know, I knew I had a solid year, and I was proud of it. I was proud with the progress I made. So I was a little surprised, but I was happy. I wasn't, you know, totally caught off guard, but I was, you know, pleasantly surprised.
I think we need to get the Rockies to do what the Braves did. And although Brandon beat Simmons straight up, and then he got traded. But Arenado makes it a little tough when he's in the same league.
Yeah. He's pretty good.
Yeah. Maybe when he gets, they're tearing down, so at some point maybe he'll move out of there.
We'll see what happens.
There's some good competition. I think if you look around the league and Chris Bryant and some of the other young
It's a lot of good third basemen right now.
Yeah. At least Machado's in the other league, so
you
don't have to worry about him.
He's another shortstop converted over there, so he's got a little different approach. I feel like he's kind of like me, a little more rangy third baseman, I guess.
A little skinnier.
Yeah.
You know, one of the best stories last year that I saw was the one you guys did for the Players Tribune with your dad's photos. And I know from a baseball perspective that was really cool, but I'm wondering off the field, is this something where he goes on vacation and comes back and you're watching a slideshow of 1,000? Because it seems like he's always taking photos.
That's the thing, is that he is always taking photos, but he doesn't always do anything with the photos. Yeah. They're all sitting on an external hard drive next to his computer at home. So it was really good to actually see him put something together with it. I mean, I think they combed through like 4,000 to 5,000 pictures or something to come up with what, you know, the finished product was. And I don't always see them because he doesn't do a lot with them. He'll, you know, tinker with them on Photoshop and make posters. He's really good at making posters, but he's kind of a perfectionist. So his stuff comes out really good when it does come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he takes outstanding pictures. He'll be, you know, modest about it. And so to see him put something together that, you know, came out as good as it did, I was really proud of him. It was really cool for me to see. And some of those pictures I didn't even know he had, to be honest with you.
I think it caught you by surprise a little bit.
It did. Yeah. It really did. Because, I mean, I think I remember him taking pictures. I remember him taking a lot of video with the camcorder when I was younger. But I didn't know that he took that many pictures. And I mean, he's been taking pictures like that since, you know, I think before I was born. So, you know, I don't know if he still has them anywhere because I don't think digital photography came out before I was born, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
He was pretty prescient with looking back on it now to have all these baseball photos of you and end up in the big leagues. It's a pretty cool thing that it worked out that way.
I don't think he planned it that way, but, you know, I think it's one of those things where he liked taking them, not necessarily to do anything with them, but years down the road to look back and, you know, because of where we are now down the road, it's makes it a little bit cooler to even look back, be like, this is where, you know, I came from, kind of thing.
I would be terribly embarrassed if I was doing a TV thing and my dad was standing there taking a photo, but it seems like you get a kick out of it. Are there times where you see him kind of following you around the field or
he follows me around everywhere taking pictures? I asked him. I was packing up my truck to drive out here to spring training. I had quite a bit of stuff because all my stuff that I'm taking up to San Francisco with me I brought. And I was like, hey, can you – I had put all my stuff in my parents' living room to then put in my truck. I said, hey, can you help me pack up my truck before I leave because I need to go? And he was like, yeah, I'll help you. And I'm taking out a couple boxes. I turn around and he's like next to the side of my truck taking a picture with like a cool angle of the sky – and the boxes in the truck, and I'm just like, Dad, I need you to help me. Like, if you don't want to help me, that's fine. It'll take longer, but you said you'd help me. Can you help me? And I was like, put the phone down for 1 second.
He has good photos now.
He does have really good photos. Like, I mean, and the plus side is now when I put my stuff back in my truck to go up to San Francisco, I know how it all fits because it was like a Tetris game.
That works out pretty well.
Yeah, there's a hidden benefit there. But, yeah, I get a kick out of it at this point. I just, like, it's one of those things where I kind of roll my eyes and laugh, and it is what it is. I'm not going to stop him. I've tried over and over again. So, you know, he's going to take his pictures, and I'm just not going to bother him about it anymore.
It'd be a yearly thing with the Players Tribune. He could come back and here's what I've taken the last year.
I take that back. I will bother him about it all the time, but I'm not going to stop him because I can't.
How ready are you guys? You mentioned San Francisco to get up there, start the season.
Yeah.
Some huge expectations, I think, you know, not just for the lineup, but the whole team. And we got a sneak peek of it the other night when you guys were out there the first time and up like 12 to nothing. in the fourth inning.
There's always a little bit different feeling, a different little buzz with, I think, internally with everybody and, you know, in the clubhouse, the dugout in general, when everybody kind of gets out there together for the first time. And because, you know, the first few weeks, everybody's getting up to speed, getting in rhythm. And then when you finally put it all together, all the work you've done in the last few weeks and in the off season, come together and for it to work out. I don't think we expected it to work out that good, but for it to work out the way it did, you know, that was fun. That was exciting. And, you know, we're kind of looking around like, all right, we can do some damage this year. It's not just a, you know, something people are saying, I guess. But I think we're all really excited to get up there and get this thing going. Everybody, like I said, everybody's getting their stride. And, you know, Belt got his swing yesterday. And
anytime he goes to Salt River, I told him I've never seen him make an out there.
I read that yesterday. I think
he's unbelievable. I told him that this morning, and he said anytime he slumps during the season, he's going to come out here for a day. Do you have a place like that?
Just
or anything
fly
that,
out.
Anything that kind of gets you back on track? I know you have the book you read, but...
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the closest thing I have. I mean, there's stadiums, you know, that you enjoy hitting at, whether it's a hitter's eye or just a feel or the weather there, whatever it is. I don't like to, you know, like let the weather get to me too much because it's always changing. But, you know, there's certain stadiums that you just enjoy. I'm not a big fan of, I guess, indoor stadiums. It just feels weird to me. I mean, I feel like I do okay, but I just don't feel... I feel like it's an outdoor sport, but I understand.
I think here, too, at Chase.
Really? Maybe it's just Arizona.
It's just Arizona, maybe.
But then again, I don't know. What happened the first couple of weeks this week?
That's true.
He's been complaining for 2 weeks about how Matt Cain has more hits in one inning than he had all spring, and he goes out and gets four hits. So I got nothing to say to you, Belt.
He, on the topic of kind of spots you like, the other day you hit a ball into that corner where you always hit a ball. As a right-handed hitter, it's pretty hard to get it over there. And Matt Kemp was standing
right there
in the corner, like about 10 feet off the line. And one of their beat writers was saying they've actually, you know, they're positioning guys better this year. And I guess that was for you at that spot. I mean, I've never seen anybody hit that spot at AT&T Park down the line as a right-hander, other than you and Buster, really, as much as you do. What do you think that is? Just your approach or your...
I think it's an approach, or maybe I just got no bat speed, and that's where I hit the ball. Just kidding. I don't know. I you know, I try to stay inside the ball sometimes, and, you know, if I feel like a guy is going to throw me a bunch of off-speed pitches, I'll look to shoot the ball that way. But, you know, if I see a defense position like that, I might look to snap hook one the other way. I feel like I have the ability to do both. It's just... I think when I'm looking to go kind of to right center, it gives me a better chance on most pitches versus if I'm just trying to yank the ball the whole time. I feel like the only thing I can hit is a fastball in. So I think it's a result of my approach. My swing, I like to stay inside the ball maybe. But, you know, I don't like to think about it too much, but I definitely noticed when I hit that ball. I thought it was an easy double. And
Kemp standing right in the corner.
Yeah, and it was dark, so it was kind of... He was, like, hiding over there.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen a guy that far over.
He was pretty far over. And they were still over there the next at bat, obviously. I hit the one to center, and it was, like, straightaway center. I was like, man, this might get to the wall.
This is my last question. It's the question for everybody, which is, do you have a good – you actually had limited minor league time, so maybe you don't have a great one here. But what's a good kind of life in the minors story, something that could only happen in A-ball? I know your call-up story is pretty good, but I – pulled that one a few times.
I mean, there's a few. Well, we were in, I guess it's Harrisburg.
Pennsylvania?
Yes. When I was in Richmond in AA in the Eastern League. And I've never seen this many bugs. It had to be like that game in Cleveland with the midges, except these bugs were not tiny. They were, I mean, there were some that were like 4 inches long. I think they looked like mini dragons with these like mean looking claws on their face. Strickland actually picked one up and it bit him and drew blood on his hand. That was pretty
miserable. It doesn't surprise me that Strickland picked one up.
Well, Harrisburg's field is on like an island. It's like you have to take a little bridge to get over it. So, and it's crazy hot and humid. So all that moisture, just bugs everywhere. Like you could barely see the lights because it was so brutal. That and we were in the clubhouse in Savannah and A-ball, and there was like black widows and stuff.
So it's good to be up here.
Yeah. It's very good to be up here.
Well, Matt, thank you for taking the time here, even though guys in the background are yelling Duff Man and trying to get... I don't think anybody ever calls you your real name. They just yell Duff Man.
I don't think so. I don't know if anybody knows my first name, actually.
And I do want to point out, we're 24 minutes in, and I did a podcast without asking a Skeeter question.
That's not a bad thing necessarily.
It's getting a little... It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to make everybody hate on Skeeter, but...
I'm going to give you a warning that if you guys do what you're trying to do and get to the postseason, and you've experienced this once, but you will get a million Skeeter questions on those media days. It's
going
to be nonstop. Yeah. Everybody's going to think they thought of it for the first time.
Maybe I'll just bring him if we make it to the postseason. Okay. They can ask him all the questions.
Well, there's good motivation for this team to get to
How's the World Series going?
Just put Skeeter out there.
Yeah.
You can literally just set him on the table.
If I put a bowl of food there, he won't move.
We'll be good to go.
We won't even have to watch him.
Thank you, Matt.
No problem.
Got him. And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.